Jnanatinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Surupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Shri Radha Yaf Pranaya Mahima Ki Trisho Vanayaiva Svadyo Yen Adbhuta Madhurima Ki Trisho Vamadiya So kyam cha syamad anubhavata kidrisham veti lobhat tadbhavardhya samajane shachikarpa sindho harinduhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare This morning I'm going to reply to something I received by email from a disciple, not from India, who's been a devotee for a considerable number of years, would now be considered a more senior devotee, probably more than 10 years initiated, can't remember exactly. So I don't see him very often, as he's not in India much at the time. He comes every year, but and when he's in India, I don't see him that much. His path and my path don't cross that much. Anyway, he sent me an email with the subject line, My Heart. It opens like this. Please forgive my foolish obstinacy. As we grow a bit in devotional service, we expect softness in dealings with devotees, as well as with you, Guru Maharaj. So it was difficult for me to swallow your mercy, even though it's your duty to chastise and correct me. In the mundane world, we always have to face roughness, cruelty, and negligence. Maybe I am too sentimental. Please kindly instruct me, Guru Maharaj. You are the only person to whom I developed faith in the course of these years and after considering for some time. I understand there is nothing more precious to me than service to you, Guru Maharaj, to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Please be kind to me. So I replied to this. I do not recall chastising you recently, if ever. To what incident do you refer? And then came the reply, to which I'm now... I'll reply to this now verbally. So the email reply was, thank you very much for your reply. You did not chastise me, Guru Maharaj, but corrected in such and such a place. A little more than 1 year ago. The way you spoke disturbed me. What should be my attitude and how to overcome this, Guru Maharaj? Please tell me. Okay. So, I'll read a little from Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is relevant to this subject. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was strict Often he would immediately and strongly upbraid a shishya for even a minor fault without concern for possibly displeasing him. Yet his disciples liked it. A reprimanded devotee would happily inform other godbrothers, for his trouncing was considered indicative of being fully accepted by their spiritual masters. Among the shishyas there was a saying that two things were sweet: Prabhupada dal, Prabhupada's Mahaprasad dal remnants, and Prabhupada gal, Prabhupada's scolding. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami recalled, "When our spiritual master used to chastise, we took it as a blessing. That was very nice, and he would chastise like anything. Damn rascal, foolish, stupid, all good words." End of quote. This happy acceptance of their spiritual master's discipline sprung from the understanding that such severeness was actually a blessing, similar to being rebuked by the Supreme Lord himself, as described in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya danda maha shukriti jay pai, jar donde morile boikunte lok jai. Chaitanya danda jay mostake kori loi, shei danda tare prem bhakti joga hoy. Chaitanya donde jar chite nahi bhai, janme janme shei pa pishto jama danda hoy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's punishment is an immense blessing for anyone killed by the Lord attains the spiritual world. One who sincerely accepts the Lord's chastisement attains prema bhakti, while a sinful person who does not fear the Lord's punishment will suffer the retribution of Yamaraj birth after birth. So the attitude in chastisement from the spiritual master should be to accept that as mercy for one's correction. And in fact, if one's not prepared to accept any correction, then why have a guru at all? What do you need a guru for if you're already beyond any correction? So, what to make of all of this? Here we have a devotee who's very dedicated to Krishna consciousness, but there seems to be some basic misunderstanding of what Krishna consciousness even is. As we grow a bit in devotional service, we expect softness in dealings with devotees. Softness, maybe, and maybe harshness also. That in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's described in the episode where Gadadhar Pandit is ostracized by the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom he is one of the Panchatattva, one of the very closest. Gadadhar Pandit was ostracized for maintaining a relationship with Vallabhata, who was not in the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that description, it's stated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, they are bisham, which means severe. So, this idea of expecting softness, I've also discussed this in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav that comes, but especially in that book on strongly speaking in Srila Prabhupada's service. That this idea that devotees should always be soft and gentle, and sadhus should be always be soft and gentle, this doesn't come from Shastra, but it comes from the misconceptions of Mayavadis and Prakriti Sahajiyas. Now, we do find in the qualities of Krishna, stated in Bhagavatam, there in the first canto, and that's commonly stated, mridu, which means mild. But that's one side, but then he can be harsh also, as we just quoted the other day. Let's see if we can do better today. That Vajradapi Koturani Mriduni Komalamapi Lokotaranam Charitam Konyo Kovigyate. Yeah, see, we're all products of Kali Yoga. No memory. So it's stated that, well, this is especially said about great personalities, but then we're talking about pure devotees and those who are supposed to represent pure devotees, that they can be hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a flower. So this idea of only softness, or that one should gradually, or that we expect after some time there'll be softness. In other words, you might expect as a neophyte to be chastised a lot, but later on you expect only softness. But I see it maybe around the other way. That those who are more advanced, they can expect more rapping. At least we saw with Srila Prabhupada and his disciples that the devotees he would get very strong with were often the ones who were closest with him. Especially we can think of Harikesh Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, with the understanding that they're not going to run away and pass urine in their pants because they get chastised. Sorry, I shouldn't say that about devotees, but it's a little sarcasm there. But they can take it because they have trust in the guru that he's speaking for their benefit, and they have the humility to accept that they need to be corrected. Not that they think, well, now I'm so many years and in Krishna consciousness I'm already perfect. They might even be perfect, as Gadadhar Pandit was undoubtedly perfect, but still he got chastisement by negligence, by ostracization. You know what ostracization means? Ostracize, it means that you're put outside the group. People don't talk to you, they don't deal with you. Sent to Coventry is the saying in English, sent to Coventry. What do you say? How do you say that in Hindi? Any idea? Upeksha karna means to neglect, but that's not as a general policy. Is there any word for that in Hindi? I can't think of it. Maybe it's not done in Indian culture. Well, it's there in Gadadhar Pandit. How about Bahishkar karna? But that's usually a permanent thing, isn't it? Well, if you're put outside the jati, that's permanent. Jati brashtam. But that's Anyway. Never mind about all that. So, as we go a bit in devotional service, we expect softness in dealings with devotees. Well, maybe that's a misconception. That if it's only softness, yeah, we expect devotees to be freed from the egoistic harshness that typifies many materialistic people. But then we see some materialistic people, they're very sweet in their dealings, but they're still materialistic. In fact, some of the worst people are very nice in their dealings. They behave like that just to catch people and then exploit them. We expect softness in dealings with devotees as well as with you, Guru Maharaj. So, actually, he should learn from me what to expect rather than I should learn from him. Seems back to front. It's difficult for me to swallow your mercy, even though it's your duty to chastise and correct. But then afterwards he didn't say I chastised him. Afterwards he said that I corrected him. Correcting and chastising, well, correcting is a milder term. And the way I spoke disturbed him. What am I supposed to do? Offer my... do a dandavat parikrama, 108 dandavat parikramas of him, or what? Even the way... I can't remember this incident. I've left this query for a few days because I'm hoping something will come to my mind. I can't remember at all. It's quite possible that he completely misread what my attitude. That recently in Vrindavan, I was in Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival. I spoke something, and someone told me, I wasn't aware of it at the time, that one of the GBC members who was present there left at the time, and someone told me that they'd left in with an angry look on their face because I said something which it definitely wouldn't have been pleasing to those who want to pretend that basically everything in ISKCON is fine and there are no real serious problems. But then I mentioned that a little later to a godbrother, and he said, yeah, I also saw that GBC member leave, but I didn't have the impression it was due to anger. It was just, anyway, maybe left for some other reason. So it may be misread. That often happens, that what people say and do, and for more than 1 year, he's feeling disturbed about this. But it may have been a complete misreading. But then even if... I don't, he said, the way I spoke. How did I speak? Was it sarcastic? It wasn't chastising, I'm told. What was it? I don't know. So how can I say? But whatever it is, unless you have... unless you think that the guru is going insane or has lost his Krishna consciousness or whatever, then just accept it, that's all. What to speak? I mean, there are so many people. If we're gonna live in this world and preach in this world, we're gonna come across so many people who say bad things about us and who we may not have a... We may not have a complete understanding with them. We may say, well, that's the material world. Yeah, it's the material world. Among devotees also, we can't expect utopia. And again, even among pure devotees, even among the great pure devotees, there can be some misunderstandings. So, where do you want to go? To the impersonal Brahman, where there's no relationships and nothing bad, nothing good, just nothing. That's all. Nothing. In the mundane world, we always have to face roughness, cruelty, and negligence. So what is this saying? That I was rough, cruel, and negligent? I don't know what I'm supposed to make of that statement. That we have so much roughness, cruelty, and negligence in the material world, and now you're getting it from your guru also. Is that the statement? Cruelty? Well, it wasn't negligence, because... to speak to someone means you don't neglect them altogether. Maybe I'm too sentimental. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. How to overcome this? I don't know. It seems like you have to go back to ABC. But it's very difficult when you're already in Krishna consciousness for so many years and you've been going off on some tangent, and you and others, yourself and others, consider yourself to be very advanced, but then by revealing the mind, it's become clear that there are some serious misunderstandings. So what should I suggest? Well, this devotee is his main service, it's which he's taken up by himself. I'm not sure if he asked anyone about doing this, is traveling around and giving lectures. So I would suggest that just don't be such a big man that you can't even accept even a little correction from your guru without it just totally disturbing you. There are many temples which need devotees to help in pujari work, cooking. Do some humble service. It would be good for you. Instead of being taking the position of a guide, but the guide himself needs some basic guidance, doesn't it? There's some basic misunderstandings. So that's what I suggest. If you say, well, I can't fit into any temple, well, that's a problem. Find some place you can fit in and do some. That's my suggestion there. In fact, there was something which I had to say to you, presuming that who asked this question is asking, but I was wondering how to say it or just to leave it, because often we find that all the devotees, and it feels difficult to, they need, in some case they need some correction, but it's difficult to say to them because they, I feel I have the attitude like they're beyond being corrected. So we have some devotees who are senior in their own minds and in the minds of others, and how to correct them. Well, we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he didn't. Well, actually he did, but with some also he didn't. With Srila Prabhupada also, they had some very headstrong disciples. He engaged them in devotional service. They got a lot of service done, but they also caused disturbances in many ways. So I would suggest that to this. There were some things I had to say to you. It had been brought to my attention. There was some concern with some of your dealings with others. How am I to convey that to you? Are you willing to accept that? I don't know. So it's appreciated that there's nothing more precious in your mind than service to myself, to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And you can see that you're very dedicated in that respect, but some basic reorientation would make that dedication online, instead of having what are actually very neophyte outlook and some basic misunderstanding. Okay, I'll stop there. Anyone want to ask anything about this? I'm replying to it publicly because it can be instructive for everyone. I'm not saying who the person is. If not, then stop this and I'll go on to another question. Deceitful disciples, yeah. It's his last speech. It was only to a few people, the deceitful disciples, yeah.
boatman and you use a boat and go to the other side of the river, and then Guru will go on cheating the disciple life after life.
Yeah, if someone comes with a motive to use the disciple for his own means, then he wants to cheat the Guru, and the Guru will cheat him. Is that specifically referring to Mayavadis? Not necessarily. I believe that was in relationship to his own disciples, he was saying that. Now, I was recently told by one of my disciples that another of my disciples, who is another leader type, had spoken in public that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita specifically to Arjuna because Arjuna was his cousin. So this disciple of mine who told me this asked me, should he associate with that devotee who's talking nonsense? Nonsense in the sense that Krishna, he didn't speak to Arjuna because he was from the external point, because Arjuna from the external point of view was a bodily relation. Otherwise, Krishna, he killed Kamsa, who was also a bodily relation. The reason, bhaktosi me sakha chaiti, because he was very dear to Krishna, not because there was some familial relation. In that sense, everyone is related to Krishna, because aham bija pradapita, Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living beings. And Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, he's the best well-wisher of everyone. But he spoke to Arjuna because Arjuna was a devotee and therefore competent to understand. And because he was willing to accept what Krishna said. Whereas non-devotees, they would not be willing to accept statements like Savadham Antritya Jau. So what to do? You have people who are devotees, who are leading others, but they themselves have basic misconceptions. And then you have Andha Yatha Andhaya Rupa Niyamanas, the blind leading the blind. So people are under that influence, they come to chant Hare Krishna and follow all four regulated principles and maybe get initiated also, but they're getting completely wrong ideas, then they can't grow properly in devotional service. So, of course, it is possible that what was told to me was misrepresented. That's also true. But such things as this do go on, that there are nonsensical things stated. For instance, it came out in a newspaper a few years ago, a statement from a prominent and considered very senior member of ISKCON, that we believe that to feed a hungry child is the best way to serve Lord Krishna, which is complete nonsense and an insult to all the acharyas who came to this world and preached Krishna consciousness, and someone who's supposed to be representing them speaks this complete nonsense. So yeah, we should recognize what is right and what is not right, and better to associate with devotees who speak what is correct. And it may be that if you say something, oh no, Vaishnava Parad, this and all this nonsense. Someone's speaking wrong, and he'd point out that they're wrong. It's not an aparad to say that they're wrong. There may be some aparad if one is mean-minded in doing so. That's possible, but in and of itself, it's not an aparad. So many things may be said and done in my name or in Prabhupada's name, but we have to understand what are the actual teachings of Shastra. So for that, I'm always recommending my disciples, read the books, read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures. But then we see in some cases, even they do that, and still they may not exactly have philosophical deviations, but in some cases we find those who read the books and they find out what they want in that to further their own schemes. So what can you do? Sincerity is the greatest the greatest treasure. Without that, then we can't develop properly in devotional service. Bhakti lata bij. Bhakti lata bij means faith in the process of devotional service, and the inclination to, with that faith comes the inclination to take it up. But from the beginning, one's desire should be pure. If one brings all one's personal desires and conflates them with the desire to serve Krishna, then that's described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotional service, may grow, but it may be choked by the weeds of different desires, which they look like the devotional creeper. It looks like the same thing, but it's not. So someone may be chanting and hearing and doing, and in so many ways appear to be an advanced Vaishnava, but they may not, their actual devotion may not be developing at all. So then this devotee who related this to me, he asked that should I associate with this devotee or not? It's a tough question, in as much as we're supposed to associate with devotees. We're not supposed to associate with non-devotees. Sometimes it's posited that, well, sometimes we find non-devotees, they actually behave better than, in many ways, there are many non-devotees who in their general behavior seem to be much better than devotees. But still, even a neophyte devotee is better association than a non-devotee, because they have the tendency to remind us of Krishna. But if someone is like that, seriously misleading on a regular basis, or we may not want to associate with them, even if there is no other association, then better just read Srila Prabhupada's books and hear and chant and find some association. Go and distribute Prabhupada's books, make some association. If you don't have that strength, maybe better just to do to your devotion at home. But then we don't grow without proper association, so it puts one in a difficult situation. But if one feels more disturbed than enlivened by the association of various persons who are practicing devotional service, then it may be better not to associate with them. And find out good association whenever, wherever you can. Okay, so I finished that also. Unless there are questions about this. There may be so many questions about this. Hare Krishna.